With lawmakers back from their annual spring break, many at Kansas State University are keeping a wary eye on Topeka. University President Dr. Kirk Schultz says at this point, it looks like Kansas State might come out in fairly decent shape as lawmakers work to close a large budget gap by sometime next week.
I think we've all learned, unfortunately, in public higher education to redefine what we mean by good news. But what I think we're going to hear is there'll be no budget cuts to the universities, which I think means that we'll have stable funding for the next 2 years. A lot of the current proposals are also to put a cap on tuition at the consumer price index plus a couple percent. Now, exactly how that's all defined is a little nebulous, but there'll be some attempt, I think, to say, okay, tuition can only go up a certain amount. And I think that's going to be where we are coming out of this year, and probably an expectation on the legislature that that's where we'll be for 2 years. So is that good news for Kansas State and higher ed? I would say it's modest news. We're not taking a cut, but on the other hand, it also puts some constraints on what we're able to do.
What kind of a tuition increase before this idea bore fruit were you possibly looking at come next fall?
We were looking at probably around a 5% tuition increase. In addition to that, there were some college fees that were going to be put on per credit hour. So this is going to make it a little bit smaller. And what it has essentially done is we have a pretty bare bones budget that we're working off of. And essentially what we're going to be able to do with this cap is we're going to be able to pay for increased utilities costs, increased healthcare costs, and other obligations that we had to for promotion increments and things like that. So no salary increases for faculty and staff or anybody else, no new faculty and staff positions beyond the ones that we currently have. So there's not a lot of fluff in the budget, not really any new initiatives of any type being funded. So discouraging, but at the same time, if I look at states like Arizona and Louisiana that are seeing 15-20% cuts, we're better off than some areas of the country.
Doesn't this cause some problems, though, if we have professors who leave and we have to fill that position? Don't we, in most cases, offer more money to the incoming professor?
Yes. So that's going to put us in a tough spot to figure out financially how to be able to do that in the upcoming year. So I think what we've got to do is start getting more creative about how can we generate some additional revenue institutionally to do things like raises and new faculty positions and new lines. And we're going to spend some time this summer with a senior leadership team. I hate using the term think outside the box, but we just want to start throwing some wild ideas out there and seeing if some of them have some appeal to us and would make some sense for us, because if we constrain tuition, keep a flat budget, the only other major income source we have is philanthropy, and we've done great with that, but philanthropy doesn't pay faculty salaries and staff salaries and things like that. So,
is there a chance that the money we've raised, and you said we're doing great at that, is there a chance that maybe those in Topeka are thinking, well, look at how much money they've raised. They don't need a tuition increase, or they don't need a budget increase?
You know, I actually heard that 2 years ago and last year, frankly, almost explicitly stated like that by a few elected officials. Well, if you're doing so well, you certainly don't need us. We worked really, really hard this last year with folks at football games and casual sessions before the legislative session to say, look, you asked us to go out and be creative and innovative. We've done that. You can't now penalize us because we did what you asked us to do. And interestingly, that's not come up once this legislative session that you're having success, so we don't need to help. So I do think we've messaged that better than we have in the past. But there's no question that if you and I have this conversation, somebody's watching this and they say, well, the president's always talking about they need more resources. I drove by campus and saw six cranes. If they need all these resources, they certainly can't be building all these buildings. We've got success in some areas, and I still think that's what we've got to do is keep pushing forward. If we stop doing things because we're worried about the state not doing something, we'll find ourselves 5 years down the road further behind than we are now.
And I know we've talked about this before again, but do all of these budgetary problems mean that some students are not going to get into Kansas State University?
I think a lot of it means that there'll be some students who get in that can't stay here because they've got financial issues. It'll also mean that there's going to be some folks that the door is going to be closed on to say, well, if that's what they're going to charge, I just don't know how my family and I can afford to do that. So the problem is, Richard, we don't always know that, right? We have, you know, thousands of students apply and only a certain percentage elect to actually come. We don't always know really why somebody elects not to come, if it's financial or they got admitted somewhere else or got a better scholarship. So unfortunately, that's hard to measure. But you stick your head in the sand to think you keep raising tuition and it keeps costing more to go to school, that there's not going to be some families that say, you know what, just no way I can do that.
The university just completed a climate survey. How did we do?
In some areas, we did really well. 84% of our faculty, staff, and students said they felt comfortable in the climate at Kansas State University. And our consultant that we worked with basically said that that's about 4 to 5 percentage points higher than other similar public institutions of this size. So largely, and you and I both know this from being here, people like working here. They like the environment. They like Kansas State University. Now, on the flip side, about half of the people said that they had looked for some other position or considered other positions because of the relatively poor salaries and benefits that we offered at the university. So the good news is people like working here and they're very dedicated to K-State. The bad news is we continue to struggle to reward people for their performance and the great job that they're doing with our students.
You talked earlier about construction on campus. Athletics has got construction going on right now at the stadium. Where does that stand?
That'll be done in time for the fall football season. That construction project, they start in December. They're going to end in August, so that's moving right along. Now, people say, well, how come the business building is taking 24 months and athletics can get a similar size building maybe done in 9 months? They're also paying a premium there to get that done, and there's workers on that site 7 days a week and have been since December. A lot of our other projects, we're not willing to pay a premium. We want the same quality building, but that means sometimes it stretches it out a little bit. So the athletics stuff, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, will be ready to go for the kickoff in late August.
What kind of new amenities will it offer?
It's a new weight room, a new area for student-athlete tutoring and that thing, but not just for football. And that's the important thing for people to realize. When I talk to student-athletes in the rowing program and tennis program, these others, they'll say, when we did the West Stadium expansion and we added the training table for all student athletes, they'll say that's the best thing that could have happened to them at Kansas State. And there'll be a lot of people say, oh, that was all for football. No, it was for all of our student athletes. So there's some things that are happening in the Vanier Complex that are also going to impact all of our student athletes. It's not a football building. It truly is going to have a lot of things that are going to affect our ability to compete in the Big 12.
Now, we're also looking at offering soccer. Mm-hmm. Where does that stand currently?
So we're going to play our inaugural Big 12 season in a couple years. So we hired a coach, Mike DeBini is his name, and he coached at Kansas Wesleyan for a lot of his career, then was out on the West Coast for a couple years. He's already recruited 5 or 6 student athletes onto the team. And one of the things that Coach DeBini has talked about is he said, we're going to have a bunch of those players are going to be from Kansas. So when people come out to watch women's soccer, fall of 16 will be our inaugural season, but we'll kind of play a bunch of different games. Fall of 17 will be the first Big 12 season. And you're going to see a lot of Kansas young women on that, that people have grown up in the state, watched them play soccer in the state, competing at Kansas State University. So I think that's going to be fun. And people at Kansas State support women's athletics like nowhere else in the country. So I fully expect we're going to have 1,500, 2,000 people for that first soccer game, and that team's going to come into Manhattan and go, my goodness, look at this. You know, there's purple everywhere. It's going to be exciting for K-State.
Where do they play the games?
In the practice fields, the old football practice fields that are located behind Toynton Family Baseball Stadium. They've leveled one of those fields out there, and we're building a bit of a soccer complex. There'll be some stands, and that'll be where the competition's played. Several people said, well, why not play Memorial Stadium? Well, Memorial Stadium would require lots of locker rooms and bathrooms, and as most of our alums know, we put the Purple Mass Theater on one side, the Welcome Center on the other side. We've really repurposed that for academic purposes, as opposed to a Division I athletics venue. So we'll have a new soccer complex, and they started construction on that a couple weeks ago.
One last note here. Next week, we have the Secretary of Homeland Security coming to Kansas State. What's he going to talk about? What's he here for?
Well, finally, after 6 years, we've secured all the funding for the National Bio-Agri-Defense Facility. And the groundbreaking is occurring next week. And as part of that groundbreaking, we have the Secretary of Agriculture is going to be here, as well as the Secretary for DHS. And Secretary Vilsack had already done a Landon lecture. And so basically, we're going to have a Landon lecture on campus. We're going to have a groundbreaking, two secretaries, all kinds of dignitaries and officials. And then we start construction next month, 5-year construction. $1.25 billion worth of construction business right here in Manhattan just for the NBAF facility.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Dr. Kirk Schultz. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.